Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, out there, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. Along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We are delighted to have you with us today, and the Lord willing, when we go into the second segment, we will have our Washington beat with attorney David New, and certainly we are always delighted to have him with us. We want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and there you can communicate with us. You can write us comments if you want. Somebody from the office will get back to you. So please do not hesitate to go there. Also, at that particular website, if you cannot listen to us by radio because of being outside of a radio signal, why, you can also pick us up there if you have a computer, and because there's a link there to our anchor station in the Philadelphia area, WFYL. So that Stand in the Gap Radio site address is www.standinthegapradio.com. And then, of course, keep in mind that you can always call us if you wish. The number here to get on the air is 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180, or locally in the Philadelphia area, it is 610-539-8255. 610-539-8255. You know, we're just watching something, Dave and Sam, that's coming out right now, and it's being reported by Newsmax. It says that Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman may have issued a $100 million bounty on GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump over remarks that Trump made about Mexicans. Guzman first threatened Trump via a Twitter account, purportedly to belong to his son Ivan, soon after his escape from a maximum security prison back in July. And I'm just reading this as I'm going down through here. It says Guzman's ire stems from Trump's presidential announcement speech on June 16, when he warned that Mexico was sending its criminals to America, including rapists and murderers, as well as drugs. He has since pushed for a wall to be built between the two countries and so forth and so on. Trump has tweeted about Guzman, too, saying, quote, "Can you envision Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton negotiating with El Chapo?" Trump, however, would, I'm not going to say what Trump said. But anyway, Sam, you know, our in-house politician, what dost thou thinkest about thisest, sir?
Well, Gary, does it surprise me that the drug lords down there have put a bounty, more or less? No, because they really have talked about it before. These kinds of things have happened before. It perhaps is maybe this is serious, maybe it's not. I think, you know, this is one of the things we need to remember, that all of those who step up to run on a national level, like all of these presidential candidates, not just Trump, but any time anyone stands up and makes a declarative statement, whether they mean it or they don't mean it, if they make a declarative statement and it is perceived as real and serious, there will be some kind of pushback from the evil side. You know, it's kind of a, this is where you draw one of those distinctions. If somebody stands up and talks about, as we've talked here before, those who may stand up and point their finger towards Christians as being the problem, you don't have Christians standing up and threatening back with trying to kill them or take them out. But if you stand up and you speak out against true evil, their side generally stands up of this kind of fashion. So should it be taken seriously? I'm sure Donald Trump is taking it seriously, and he ought to take it seriously, but that shows the kind of conflict we're really in. Good versus evil is not just an ideological battle. It goes right to the heart of real life and death, and that's what we're witnessing overseas, and that's what we're witnessing here.
You know, I saw a documentary on El Chapo here several months back, and I guess he's quite wealthy, And he's almost untouchable. You know, there are those who just simply do not want to go near him. I mean, now that he's out of prison and so forth and so on. So he's quite a fella. Dave Kistler, I can just imagine what Donald Trump's comments are going to be now that this $100 million bounty has been issued against him. Can you imagine? Can you mimic what he might say?
Well, Gary, we may not be able to repeat what he would say, but let me just follow up on what Sam said.
Right.
This does need to be taken very, very seriously. A number of months back, in fact, I don't remember exactly, maybe several years back, one of my friends who has done drug reconnaissance in Colombia, and he's also very familiar with what's going on along the border, sent me some pictures and basically labeled it "For Your Eyes Only." And whenever I opened them up, I realized why he had done that. And I have never seen bodies with bullet holes like these bodies were riddled with bullet holes. I've never seen anything like it. And it was all perpetrated and committed by those drug cartels down in Mexico. So anyone that would just laugh off this potential bounty that's been placed on Donald Trump's head would be foolish to do so. These people play for keeps. They mean business. And I'm sure Donald Trump has got more than adequate security. But he needs to pay attention. And this is, gentlemen, tragically emblematic, symptomatic of the world in which we currently live. It is a very, very dangerous world. And those who do speak up and communicate anything closely, remotely close to truth, are going to be attacked in this fashion. And as Sam said, it's not just an ideological attack. It will now take on literally a physical attack. And that's what this, I think, is a threatening toward.
You know, a note just came into our studios here, fellas. It says from a listener who said that every GOP candidate should back Trump, saying they all would close the border, saying you will have to kill us all because otherwise we will close the border. What do you think about that one, Sam?
Well, do I think that would be effective? Oh, it would show great solidarity. But, you know, but that would also have to presuppose that these candidates lay down their personal distinctive political distinctives and agree on a common point. I really believe, Gary, that would be a tremendous thing to do. I don't see it happening, but it really ought to be done. I think it would send a strong message.
Gary, I agree too. I think that statement by our listener, and by the way, that goes to the intelligence of our listening audience. I mean, that's an amazing comment, an amazing, very astute observation. I agree with Sam. If there were unanimity shown and unity shown to support Trump on this, boy, what would that say? And then the actual implementation of the suggestion would be even better.
Well, it would be. But, you know, I think that one of the things we need to take into consideration, and ladies and gentlemen, remember we are a Christian broadcast. We don't want to see anyone hurt. I mean, we may talk against a particular candidate. We may talk against our president. But we don't want to see anybody shooting anybody. We don't want to see anybody being killed. Nothing like that. We do not wish harm on anybody. However, we therefore must pray for the protection of all of those people who are in the public, because when you're out there in the public, you know, there you are. And as Sam said, it's good versus evil, and the evil is out there to do everything that it can to do away with the good. I mean, that's been taking place since the time of Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll have with us our attorney from Washington, our Washington Beat attorney, David New. He always has some special insight for us, and I'm sure he might even have something to say about the situation with Trump. Who knows? So stand by. We'll be back with more right after these messages. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through JS Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
A race car driver, he served in France during World War I as chauffeur for General Pershing. With Germany's Red Baron dominating the skies, he transferred to the 94th Aero Squadron, which shot down 69 enemy aircraft and earned him the Congressional Medal. His name was Eddie Rickenbacker, born this day, October 8, 1890. In his book, The Flying Circus, Eddie Rickenbacker recounts escaping death. I am not such an egotist as to believe that God spared me because I am I. I believe there is work for me to do, and that I am spared to do it just as you are.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's prime minister during World War II. But did you know that after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are delighted to have with us, as we do about every other Thursday on a regular basis, our Washington Beat attorney, David New. And, Sam and Dave and I are fairly healthy today, or at least we think we are, but something you folks don't know there by the radio or by the computer is that David New has not been well. He has been in bed for 3 days, but he struggled to get to his office just to be on the radio program with us today. I don't know. To me, that's great dedication. And David knew, first of all, I will say we will pray for you. And secondly, we're going to quadruple your salary for such commitment.
Well, thank you so much. It's so nice to be with you.
Well, we're delighted to have you with us, particularly in light of the fact that you've had the sacrifice to be with us today. Thank you so very, very much. You know, in the pre-program correspondence we had, you had mentioned that you would like to talk a little bit about Donald Trump for a bit. And certainly Dave and Sam and our listeners and I are interested in hearing what you have to say. But what do you think about this bounty that's being placed on his head right now? Any particular comments? And then you can take it from there.
Well, I'm very sad to see something like this happen because this is a very bad thing, this character, this drug lord. And it's a frightening situation that it could actually affect the presidential election. So it's a bad situation, and I hope it's not true. I hope this character is not sincere. I kind of doubt that. I think it was $100 million. Is that the amount that you said?
Correct.
Yeah, I think there could be a serious problem in collecting the money. So if there's anybody out there who is thinking about it, you may have a problem collecting the money. In fact, if you were to go down there to try to collect the money from him, first you'd have trouble finding him. And the second thing is if you ask for his $100 million, he may have a different kind of response than you're expecting.
Well, I don't think that I would want to go try to find El Chapo at all. And I just want to say this, by the way, before we go any further, because I know that some of our radio stations down the line play us on a delay. One of the things that we try to do on this particular program is to keep up on the news. And what you hear is what breaks. In other words, you may hear it several hours after we've actually broken it because of the fact that your particular radio station plays the program on a delay. If you want to listen to us live, I would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap website at www.standinthegapradio.com, and there you can have the link to WFYL and listen to a lot of the breaking news that we share with you from time to time, day after day. But go ahead, David New. What else did you want to tell us about Donald Trump today?
One other thing I wanted to mention about Donald Trump, he's still leading in the polls, but the issue is he a conservative? And the reason why I'm asking that question is because I think if he's going to be taken seriously by the American voter, I think this is an approach that he or she may want to consider. Is Donald Trump a conservative? And I think the answer clearly is no. At least not in the sense that you and I would want him to be a conservative. You know, I suspect he may be pro-life, but I kind of doubt it, since he has given money to Planned Parenthood in the past. I suspect he, you know, may say all these things that would appeal to people in Iowa and so forth and to the Gary Dulles of the world, but I don't really think he is a conservative. But I think he should be evaluated on a different basis than other politicians. With other politicians, we wonder how committed is he or she to the values that we want. We want a moral America. We think that if America was to return to the kind of morals that made her great to begin with, biblically based morals that we're going to talk about in the next segment with the American Bible Society, if we were to do that, we would have less drugs. Chicago wouldn't be turning into Afghanistan. Everything in America would be running better. The family wouldn't be disintegrating. The education system would be more efficient and effective. Now, Donald Trump, we evaluate other politicians on how we see them. Will they keep their commitments? Donald Trump is separate, and I evaluate him differently. I don't so much look at him in that context. When I look at Donald Trump, I see the art of the deal. And what I'm saying is this, the way to evaluate Donald Trump as to whether or not he will keep his word is that whether he believes in any of these things or not doesn't matter to him. If you enter into a contract with Donald Trump, in other words, if his constituents, people who vote for him, are religious conservatives, at least to a large proportion, Donald Trump, I believe, could honor that constituency and follow through, not so much whether he believes it or not, but because you signed a contract, you made a deal with him.
So you're and what you're saying then is that whether he is conservative or liberal, are you saying that you believe that Donald Trump is good for his word?
Yes, as a businessman. And so even though he is not a, I don't believe for a moment, I mean, nobody can be too conservative that has that many wives. I'm sorry. Okay? but nevertheless, I view the contract that we would have with him if he were to be the nominee in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
The contract would be as a business deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you believe in the Ten Commandments being displayed on public property or not, Donald Trump, you know we do, and we want you to honor that. Mm-hmm. Whether you believe in same-sex marriage or not, you know we don't. And we want you to appoint Supreme Court justices in the next term, and there's going to be quite a few coming up for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to appoint the kind of Supreme Court justices that don't invent rights but follow the Constitution.
You know, Sam Rohr, I want to follow up on that with what David New just said there. And I've really never taken that into consideration. You know, it doesn't necessarily make any difference if he's liberal or conservative, as long as he keeps his word. And by virtue of the fact that Donald Trump has been one who down through the years has struck a lot of deals. He's written a book on it. The Art of Making a Deal, I think, is what it was called, or something along that line. What are your thoughts on that? Can you see Donald Trump doing what he said, even though he might not have a conviction behind what he says?
Gary, do I think it's possible? Yes, I do think it's possible. Do you certainly get into an area where you're not sure of that? That answer is also true. And I mean, we have to take and apply biblical principles to the qualifications for candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Character and integrity are matters that are of utmost importance, because if honesty or truth or justice is not understood, then it's not going to be able to be carried out if a person happens to be in a position of authority. The problem is that where we're sitting here in this generation is that we have heard for almost a generation a great majority of those going into office who say, in fact, they do hold to moral standards. They do hold to a fear of God, yet they have fully embraced pragmatism. And they have not actually done what most Christian people, would expect them to do. So the need for discernment in all of this evaluation of these candidates remains very, very high. Do I think that he's automatically disqualified from being consideration as a candidate? He is not, I don't think, automatically disqualified, but do those issues that Dave raised, do multiple wives, or do the, you know, does the fact that he has chosen to make his millions of dollars off of gambling, which really
mm-hmm.
exploits poor, I mean, can you ignore those things? No, you can't ignore those things and properly evaluate candidates. So it is a proper thing to discuss in this matter.
We're rapidly running out of time here, David Kistler, but the question that I want to ask you in light of all of this is, how many of those running for the presidency of the United States right now really are speaking out of conviction anyway? I mean, that's kind of difficult to determine. Many times they speak out of what they think we want them to say. I mean, what level of conviction do they have in the first place?
Well, Gary, you probably remember this situation, or maybe you were not in the room whenever one of our friends up on the Hill said that a politician told him as they were walking to an event, the guy said to our minister friend, what do you need me to be today? Do you
That's
need
right.
me to be a Christian today? If I can be that. And the point is this, they're chameleons, that they will you know, alter their colors depending on what environment they're in. I think the point David New made is a great one. It's not something I'd ever considered. Donald Trump is a man who's made deals all of his life, and I've read his book, The Art of the Deal, and I believe he is a man who lives by what he says he will do. So if he made a quote-unquote contract with the American people, the conservative people of America that basically elected him, and he kept his word, that could be a very, very positive thing. The problem is this. We're talking about a little bit of an unknown commodity here, and that goes to the point Sam made. So we're talking about, you know, biblical qualifications and so on. All of that has to be factored in. Interesting discussion.
It is, and when we come back from the break, we'll have more of David New. But, you know, two things. Number one, I really wonder why Donald Trump wants to run for the presidency, other than maybe the fact that he has a big ego. And secondly, again, ladies and gentlemen, continue to listen to us here on Stand in the Gap, because we're going to do everything that we can to share with you the biblical qualifications of a candidate. We will be back in about 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Republicans were meeting behind closed doors to nominate a new Speaker of the House, and now suddenly the guy considered the front runner for the job has dropped out. Live at the Capitol, Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern.
Dramatic news as House Republicans had gathered to elect their successor, at least the nominee, to succeed House Speaker John Boehner. House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy was expected to win the most number of votes, certainly at this stage of the election. But the room, we're told, was stunned as he announced he is not the right one to lead the conference. That in a tweet from Republican Congressman Bill Huizenga. Again, we expected Kevin McCarthy to win the vote to become the nominee. The question was whether or not he could parlay that in the 218 votes that's needed to win on the House floor. For now, a leadership election is postponed.
Thanks, Jared. This is a Fox News alert.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
The Scientific Edge, Defining the Limits of Evolution, is the theme of this year's Coventry Christian School's annual dinner event this Thursday evening at 6:15 at the historic Sunnybrook Ballroom in Pottstown. Come and hear Dr. Stephen Meyer and Dr. Michael J. Behe, renowned scientists and researchers and intelligent design advocates, as they explore the limits to evolution and challenge the theory that evolution is responsible for the development of all complex life on our planet. Speaker tickets are still available up until 6:15 p.m. on Thursday. The cost is $25 for adults and $15 for students of middle school, high school, and college.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, at the top of the hour, we broke news to indicate to you that the Mexican drug lord El Chapo has put out a $100 million bounty in Donald Trump. At least that's being reported. But we've also just found at the bottom of the hour, and David New, of course, you know what runs our particular program here is current news and current breaking news. So we're going to go to this for a little bit right now anyway, David. What we have just found out is, as most of you folks realize, that there's been high drama down on Capitol Hill as Republicans square off and voting for a new Speaker of the House as a result of John Boehner resigning recently. And the top runner was Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. And he wasn't necessarily a shoo-in, a lot of people don't think. The reports that I've been following this morning anyway, this morning, fellas, this morning, is the fact that he probably would have won the vote of the Republican caucus, but he might not have had, enough votes to actually really win the speakership at the end of the month when the full House votes. But, you know, right now that's all redundant, because the information that is coming our way is that McCarthy has just dropped out. He was the front runner. He was the front runner. Others who were being considered or had expressed interest in running was, of course, Jason Chaffetz of Utah and Daniel Webster of Florida. And, this particular vote was to be taking place this afternoon to see who would come out on top. But McCarthy, according to the news, as it's being reported right now, breaking news, is that he has just dropped out of the running. And so there's not going to be any vote. That delays everything. You know, last week we had on with us Tom DeLay, who said that the House of Representatives is in chaos down there. Mark Meadows, last week we had him as well, basically said the same thing. Sam, again, I go to you as our in-house politician. What are your thoughts on this one now, sir?
Gary, I think this is extraordinarily good news. A couple points I would make on that is this. I think what Tom DeLay said is what this is proving is true, number one. Number two, it proves also the strength of the new members of the caucus who are conservative members, many of whom are Christians. They are believers who understand the rule of law. They believe that God called them there, not all of them, but enough of them, in this caucus, this Freedom Caucus group that they call themselves. They are the ones who announced to McCarthy this morning in a surprise announcement, before McCarthy announced his withdrawal. They made known this morning early that they were supporting Daniel Webster from Florida. That meant that McCarthy would not be able to achieve the necessary votes of his own caucus in order to be able to win the vote of the entire House. Because when you run for Speaker, elected a Speaker, you are elected, selected by the majority caucus, the Republicans, but the whole House has to vote on it. So if you have slippage in your own caucus, in other words, if you have some Republicans who will not support you of a sufficient number, you will not win the vote as Speaker of the House. You need your whole group. So we have been wondering, gentlemen, whether or not these younger, newer members would actually allow another Boehner type, meaning McCarthy, to move up the line, or whether or not they would say, no, our chance has come, we must change the attitude and the way this is run. Not such a change of personality, but a change of process. And I believe because they exhibited this kind of impact, this is something that we need to be very, I would say, rejoice about, but also be very much in prayer about as they continue to go forward, because there is a great deal of pressure happening inside from all perspectives. I guarantee you at this point, this is a big, big, big time happening in Congress.
David Kistler, it's interesting to note that this morning, and I have a document right here, right in front of me, that's this morning, where McCarthy said in reference to this vote today, he said, it's going to go great. So just within the past few hours, things must have just completely turned around for McCarthy down there. It's very dynamic right there in the House of Representatives right now, no doubt about it. Do you think that this gaffe that McCarthy spoke the other day had to contribute to this, or do you think that there's just those who don't recognize him as worthy and think, as Sam says, it would just be another term of John Boehner's?
I think the answer, Gary, is yes. I think it's actually both. I think his gaffe the other day certainly didn't help him. And let me be quick to say this. I don't think he was insinuating that the Benghazi committee was put together sheerly to try to disrupt Hillary Clinton's campaign. I don't think that's what he was saying at all. I think he was drawing a correlation, but not necessarily a causality, if I can word it that way. The committee wasn't put together to cause her presidential presidential pursuit to fail. But the end result of that committee is probably going to be the undoing of her campaign. But the statement was out there, the way it was interpreted, the way the media have been all over it certainly has not helped him. But Gary, there's more to it than that. It goes back to what Sam said, and that is this Freedom Caucus within the Republican Party has pushed to get Boehner out. They are not squandering what they've done. They did not waste the time, the energy. They did not suffer the political ramifications like Mark Meadows being removed from certain committees and so on. They did not suffer all of that for no reason. They did all of this. They're following through with it. They're seeing it through all the way to the end. And so, gentlemen, this is phenomenally good news. And by the way, Mark Meadows last week on this program was very gracious, but he basically intimated that this was not a done deal, that Kevin McCarthy was not a shoe-in, and now I think we're seeing that play out.
Well, we are, and it's interesting. Here again, another one of our listeners has written in and said what we do need to do now is to pray that Trey Gowdy will put his name in the hat. Dave, what do you think about that one?
Well, Gary, I think that's a great suggestion. I think that's an outstanding suggestion, to be honest with you. I don't know that Trey's interested in running, but I know his name has been floated a number of times as being a possibility for the Speaker of the House. I personally would be all for that. However, having said that, I want people to understand, I think Daniel Webster would be an outstanding Speaker of the House if he were to get the nod here from the caucus and then were to be able to get the vote of the entire House. I think he would be a great choice.
Okay. Sam, what do you think about that idea of maybe Trey Gowdy putting his name in for the running here?
Well, you know, I mean, I would assume, Gary, that with the way this kind of process happens, when the lead individual has stepped aside, one way or other, voluntarily or been forced out, which I think forced out is what McCarthy has now done. He knew he didn't have it, so he backed out. At this juncture, now it's going to be probably a further discussion internally about who might step forward. I think what Dan Webster has done, being the fact that he was a Speaker of the House in Florida, I know Dan personally. He is a friend of mine and his family. He is very capable. He's very committed to the Constitution. He's a very committed believer. He could effectively run that House. But now that he has stepped up and there's been enough to support him to now force a change, my prediction would be that there probably will be some other individuals who now may be within the conservative group where the discussion now shifts to, well, now that we've knocked out the main guy and who perhaps may be better than Dan. It may be that Dan is the best one. It may be that he was just willing to step forward right now to be able to be used in this condition. But this is a discussion that's going on internally.
Well, we will be watching this, ladies and gentlemen. Sam, it's interesting to note that last week Tom DeLay said that that he probably wouldn't be voted on because he's just so new there. You still think he is a valid individual there for that position?
I think he is valid, Gary, because of the past experience that he's had. And in this climate, anything can happen.
Well, we'll be watching it for you, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break, but we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today right after this. So don't you go away.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-8255. 5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, as a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier. He said, the calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come. Expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He said, God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore, he said, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, so far today we have broken some news for you, and that is the fact that there's a bounty of $100 million out there on the head of Donald Trump. We also indicated that Kevin McCarthy has decided not to run for the position of Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. So let's go to David New. And David New, maybe you can break some news for us about the American Bible Society that might be a little bit more positive. What do you have Let's hear from you, sir.
Yes, sir. So nice to go into this. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the American Bible Society conducts a survey about the Bible every year in the month of January and February, and you can download the survey for free. It's free to the public, and you simply have to go to AmericanBible.org AmericanBible.org. That's AmericanBible.org. You'll see on the top banner where it says Bible Resources. You click on that, and then there'll be a drop-down box that says State of the Bible. Click on that, and that will take you to a PDF file. When you go further, scroll further on down, and on the right side, you'll see these PDF files that you can download about the Holy Bible and what Americans think of it. According to the survey taken this year, 88% of the households in the United States have a Bible. 52% of Americans read it 3 to 4 times a year. That's not good. 14% read it daily. 28% of Americans never read the Bible. 39% prefer the King James Version. That's good if you believe that it was the Bible of the Apostle Paul. 76% prefer the print version of the Bible. 83% claim some knowledge of the Bible, and 12% of Americans claim to have high knowledge of the Bible. What's also interesting is what they had to say about the Bible's influence in America. And they interview, by the way, millennials, which are 18 to 29, Generation Xers, which are 30 to 48, boomers from 50 to 68, and elders. And out of these four groups, 51% say that the Bible has too little influence in America. That's a very good, at least it's a majority. We would love to see that much higher, ladies and gentlemen. And it goes on and says 56% of the politicians, or 56% believe that politicians would be more civil, and American politics would be more civil, if politicians read their Bible.
What is that percentage, David?
56% of Americans in the survey believe that politicians would be more civil in their political business if they read the Bible.
You know, that's interesting that you bring that up as it relates to that particular report, because, you know, today is National Bible Day across the United States of America in the high schools. And, you know, Christian young people, boys and girls, are being encouraged to take their Bibles to school today. I know that our youth director at the church I pastor, the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, last night encouraged the young people who go to public school to take their Bibles with them. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that yesterday, and that is the effect of the Bible upon those who take heed to it. It is very effective. And I'm just interested. I think it's kind of neat to hear that particular statistic that you just gave.
Yes, and 80% of Americans, according to this survey, and again, ladies and gentlemen, this survey is for free. You can download it. Go to AmericanBible.org, AmericanBible.org. 80% of Americans believe that the values and morals of America are in decline.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were asked why. 31% blamed it on movies and television and general entertainment. But this is interesting. 31% believed it was a lack of Bible reading.
Wow.
And so, that was fascinating. 27 blamed it on the corporations and the greed and, you know, America is just about making money and this kind of thing. So this is something for pastors, for Bible teachers, and for laymen, and for people who enjoy the Word of God. You can also not only download the 2015 Bible survey, but you can also get 2014, and you can go all the way back to 2011, and you can download them all for free.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that to our attention, and certainly there is no doubt about it, but that we do need to get back to the Word of God. And, you know, in Washington, D.C., Dave Kistler, I think you heard the chaplain of the Senate make this statement when we were in his office one day. Barry Black, that's his name, correct?
That's correct.
He made the statement that a large majority of the senators, or a large number, I don't know if it's a majority, you can help me with this, Dave Kistler, but a large number of senators come to his Bible studies every week. They listen to what he says, and he gives them a good Bible study, but then they go back into the chambers and fight like cats and dogs and go into their immoral ways and so forth and so on. Just think, it could be a whole lot worse if they did not take heed to his Bible studies, Dave Kistler.
Well, Gary, if I remember correctly, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, perhaps, of the senators of the 100 that are in the U.S. Senate. Maybe at times, depending on the topic of the Bible study, as close to as many as 50 of them will attend his Bible study. But yes, Gary, that was a grief of heart to him. He said, you know, we talk about these things. We go right to the scripture, and you've heard him make comments about the topic and the content of his Bible studies. It's as solid as anything you would ever want to hear. And yet it was a grief of heart to him that they'll return back to their offices and then back to their constituents, go to the floor, and then they'll vote in a way that is not reflective of what they've heard. And so,
the reason it is like that is because of the separation of church and state and the corruption, the corrupt interpretation's been put upon it. Therefore, when you separate church and state the way that the world does, that means you could be holy on Sunday and be the devil on Monday, and that's why they behave that way.
Well, what David is saying is true, Gary. It's a compartmentalization. You know, they have their religious compartment, and that's whenever they attend the chaplain's Bible studies, and then they have their political compartment where they just operate, you know, any way that they feel that they need to operate to get by. So that's a great point. But, Gary, here's the thing that disturbs me about this, and it's true not just in Congress. It's true all over the United States of America. We hear the truth. We know the truth, but then even those on Capitol Hill make decisions that are totally contrary to the truth. And when they make those decisions, knowing full well that God says something different than the choice they're about to make, that is very, very disturbing.
Well, it is. But, you know, this idea of compartmentalizing Christianity is something that's not only in Washington, D.C., fellas. You know, it's found in churches all across this nation. Christians do the same thing, you know, no matter... Christians do the same thing. Let's put it that way.
Gary, you know that well because you're a pastor.
You got that right. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to thank you very much for being with us today. David New, thank you also for being with us today. And we encourage you to continue to stay tuned to this particular program as we do all that we can to bring you the news in light of the Word of God and our United States Constitution. The Lord willing, we will be back with you in about 23 hours. So we encourage you to join us then on another edition of Stand in the Gap today, which will be for Friday. Until then, keep looking up because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
A race car driver, he served in France during World War I as chauffeur for General Pershing. With Germany's Red Baron dominating the skies, he transferred to the 94th Aero Squadron, which shot down 69 enemy aircraft and earned him the Congressional Medal. His name was Eddie Rickenbacker, born this day, October 8, 1890. In his book, The Flying Circus, Eddie Rickenbacker recounts escaping death. I am not such an egotist as to believe that God spared me because I am I. I believe there is work for me to do and that I am spared to do it just as you are.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.